Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Eyes haven't seen, and ears haven't heard, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Cause victory is here. Kick the feet out the door. God's doing a new thing. Yeah. Get ready for overflow. Cause I'm getting ready.
That parted the Red Sea. Multi-million dollar commercials for Pepsi. From food stamps to more ice and Gretzky. I don't gotta talk, the Lord defends me. I watched them all fall for going against me. Cause me and all my angels shot the devil up. While you was trying to pull me down, I leveled up. I leveled up twice, I leveled up three times. He tapped them and told them she's mine. So even when I cried, I knew I'd be fine. Prepared for a miracle blessing in these times. I praise them, raise them, name it, claim it. Every tongue that rises up against me, shame it. I breathe success in and out my lungs. Got the power of life and death coming out my tongue.
You gotta move a little bit with that. Say, oh.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. You've been waiting. You've been praying. You've been pressing. You've been fasting. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. Oh, I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for overflow. Hallelujah. How about you?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm getting ready for overflow. I am speaking it into existence, and we want you to speak it into existence in your life as well. I'm getting ready for overflow. I'm getting ready, hallelujah, for overflow in the Lord. So we give God glory and praise and honor for giving us another opportunity to be able to call upon his name, to be able to share the word of God with God's people. And we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in tonight. We are happy about the word of God that is going to come forth tonight.
Yes.
We just so excited, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
about this word. And we just excited about God and what God is doing. And in my meditation time today, I was thinking about God, and I came up on a scripture that is found in Proverbs. And you know, Proverbs is that wisdom book. And so it's Proverbs chapter 2. And I began to think about wisdom, and wisdom becomes skilled in our godly life. When we have wisdom, we become skillful in our godly life. And the scripture says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turn your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protect the ways of the faithful one." And we know that God is faithful, and he's looking for us to be faithful. And if we are faithful to him, obeying his word and doing what he is saying, speaking to us to do, let me tell you, God will truly be faithful to us and help us to be able to live a peaceable life right here on this side. Amen.
Amen.
And so we give God glory and give him praise on today. We at Light of the World, which is located, our church, and is located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Our leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith and Bishop Kevin Jones. We are so excited about our leaders and all of those that are helping to carry out the ministry at the Light of the World. Our service time on Sunday mornings is 9 a.m. for Sunday school, and then we have our church worship service at 10 a.m. On Wednesday, we have 12 noon Bible study, and this past Wednesday was awesome. We enjoyed every minute of it. It was really great. So if you have the time to come out, just come on out at 12 o'clock. We are social distancing. and making sure that we are safe in the house, all right? And then we have the 7 p.m. Bible study. So come on out and share with us. We'll be glad to have you. And even on tomorrow, come on out at 9 o'clock for Sunday school, and we will be glad to have you there. We have an awesome woman of God that is able to break the bread of life with us on tonight to share the word of God. And we want to give a shout out to my husband, Pastor Stephen. He just came in from the basketball tournament games or whatever. So he's been tied up with that today. But we give God glory and we give him praise for what he is doing in our lives. So we have an awesome word tonight. This woman of God, she is a teacher and a preacher, and she just all of that. And she's full of wisdom and knowledge, and she understands the word of God. And so tonight we know that you're going to be an overflow. Once you hear this awesome woman of God bring forth this word, get your Bibles and your pencils and paper, and let's get ready to hear the word of God from this awesome woman, Elder Nichelle Ford. And her husband, I'm sure he's right there. He preached on last week, and I tell you, we had an awesome time. And so now his wife is coming forth to bring forth the word on tonight. So, Minister Nichelle, Elder Nichelle, you are now live on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Ann and Pastor Stephen Butterfield. It's so good to be on with you all this evening. I pray you all are well. And it is just an awesome, awesome blessing to be able to have a moment to be able to share what the Lord has given me, and share, of course, the word of God with all of the people out there in radio land. I'm hoping that you can hear me well. Is everything all right on your end?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Every time I tell you, I hear you introduce me, I always say to myself, boy, I wonder who they are talking about. But I thank God for the two of you. And you are such a blessing to myself and my husband. And we are just so grateful to not only call you pastor, but to call you friend. And
thank you.
With that said, again, we love you both. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and jump in and get started. And I'm hoping everybody is ready, because I've been given a word that I feel as though it's been downloaded in my spirit. And as Bishop Ruth would say, and I'm ready to just birth this. I'm ready to birth this and get this out. So hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah.
I'm going to ask those of you out there in radio land, if you have your Bibles handy, I pray that you do. As I begin every sermon with you, I'm going to begin again by asking that you repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. The
Word of God is truth.
And truth can never be a lie.
Truth can never be a lie.
So whatever God says,
whatever God says,
it must come to pass.
Must come to pass.
Amen. Amen. So brothers and sisters, this evening I'll be coming to you from the chapter of Philippians, the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Again, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. And I'll be reading from the New King James Bible. And it reads as follows. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in both you and you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now I ask that you bow your heads, please, and pray with me. Father God, most gracious and holy one, we thank you this evening for making us complete, for being our treasure, and for protecting us from things seen and unseen. Thank you for keeping us in our right mind when all may seem to be falling around us. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you will set it right again. We thank you for bringing us to this appointed day and time that we may have the opportunity to hear your word once again. And now, in this moment, Heavenly Father, allow me to decrease and have your Holy Spirit to come forth. Help me to say what you would have me to say in order that your people may hear what you may have them to hear. We give you glory and honor. We lift your name up. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This evening, saints of God, I would like to speak with you on the topic, what's on your mind? Again, what's on your mind? When you have time to sit down and think, what does your mind turn to? All of the things that you have to get done, all of the things that you haven't done, or all of the things you wish you had done. All of those things can be such a stress. Time can also be a stressor for us. Sometimes just the small action of looking at a calendar or even at a watch can actually cause our heart to begin to beat faster or our blood pressure to rise. And yet, we continue to wish time away. We don't even realize that by wishing the time away, we are actually wishing away the very blessing that God is giving us freely and willingly each and every day. Needless to say, in this season, we have all had a lot on our minds. As I spoke about in my last conversation with you all, coronavirus has heightened things in our mind and has made us aware of so many things that we may not have even thought about before. There is most likely a good chance that because we are not even aware most of the time of what's on our mind, we can get so easily caught up with the things that are on our mind that we can't even detach ourselves from it. Either way, we have to agree that daily the goings on in our mind has a huge impact on our life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've recently read that over 95% of what's on our minds tend to be the same thing as the day before or the previous day before that. This could be anything from worrying about the future, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, other people, other situations, or just other complaining. Maybe even other mental chit-chat. All of that is just really brain clutter. But even if this mental clutter isn't actually causing you some intense suffering, it can still be a distraction from you, from you being able to feel, you know, relaxed or calm or having a sense of well-being. And we always hear that if we just free our mind, it can allow for things like inspiration or motivation and creativity, which would otherwise just get blocked out with all of our negative or unhelpful conscious or unconscious mental chatter. So these days, brothers and sisters, I ask again, what's on your mind? Are you even aware of the habitual thoughts that may occupy your mind on a daily basis? Do you catch yourself thinking at random times during the day? Do you end up writing down what's on your mind on a piece of paper or in a journal? Or do you all of a sudden think and say to yourself, what was I thinking? So I want to also insert, brothers and sisters, what about Jesus? Is he ever on your mind? And when he does come to mind, do you ever take down a piece of paper, write it down? Does it take you to the Bible to read a verse? We need to become aware of our mental patterns so that we can actually catch ourselves and actually know what we are thinking, what is actually on our mind. The mind is really an abstract concept, and it's used to characterize our thoughts and our feelings and our self-awareness that usually arise from the connections in our brain. Our brain has all of the power connections, all the wiring, all the storage for our memory, and the processing power that we need to function as human beings. So think about it this way, saints of God. Your brain is the hardware, and then your mind would be the software. It's the operating system that gathers and stores and manages information, and it uses that massive processing from the resources of your brain. With the basic functions that our mind engages in, it just really involves our thinking, our feeling, and our wanting. And those functions of our mind usually can be guided and directed in either an internal focus or an external focus. When it's an internal focus, it's much like we end up having a conversation with ourselves. And a lot of times, we know that voice that we hear in our head because we know what it's telling us. When we have an external focus in our mind, we are more tuned into where we are and what's happening around us with the noises that are about or even who might be close to us. But, saints of God, understand that the internal mind is what I am talking about this evening with you, because that is the place where the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it is the voice that we usually don't recognize because it doesn't sound like our own voice. And sometimes we don't believe that we even heard it. Now, as we know, let's go to the text. The book of Philippians was written by Paul, and it was during the time of his imprisonment in Rome and was most likely the last of the four prison epistles that he wrote. Paul ministered at Philippi during his second missionary journey, where he spent about 3 months in the city. During his stay, he brought faith in Christ to the people who would form the very core of the church congregation in that city. More than any other church, the believers in Philippi offered Paul material support for his ministry. So it was one of his more successful ministries that he engaged in. So he didn't end up writing this book in response to a crisis or to admonish them as he did the Galatians and the Colossians. Instead, he wrote to them to express his appreciation and affection for the Philippian believers. His appreciation for the Philippian church is pretty clear in this letter, and it gives an indication that he wanted the readers, which are us, to feel that appreciation that he had for them as well. Paul took to the Philippian believers, and he took them directly to Jesus, teaching them that a community of believers who live in harmony with one another can only come through a mutual humility modeled after Jesus Christ. Paul shared that he poured out his life as an offering for the sake of Christ, which led him to finding great joy and contentment in Christ's service. This letter to the Philippians showed them that by centering their lives on Christ, they too might live in true joy and contentment. So Philippians 2 connects the blessings of Christianity with the results that we can receive by living a Christian life. We can experience comfort, encouragement, love, and unity as saved believers in Christ. And as a result, we ought to then express comfort, encouragement, love, and unity to our fellow believers. Amen? Mm-hmm. Paul emphasizes that how a Christian thinks, what's on their mind, or how they frame their attitude is crucial to a Christian life. This sets up a description of Jesus Christ, his own nature, his individual nature for us. As we look at the verses 5 through 8, Paul gives us some things to consider in order to think about the mind of Christ. There were some significant statements because they truly discuss the nature of Christ. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This verse focuses on training our mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's about training our mind to be different. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts. So right thinking or righteous thinking will produce right action or righteous action.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking and being like Christ are requirements not only for an individual but for the corporate body of believers.
Mm-hmm.
So together, saints of God, we need to think and act like we belong to the body of Christ. Is our mind on acting like we belong to the body of Christ? If not, then we need to train our mind to be like the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, which states, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, talks about the transforming of the mind. Christ took on the mere form of, he took on the form of a mere man. And in doing this, he humbled himself in transformation. So he was not only transformed in terms of, or he kept talking to us about being transformed not only in body, but in spirit as well. When he was transformed, Jesus let go of his privilege as God when he took on the essence of man, but he remained completely God. He just became human. So Jesus added to that also by being a servant. So when he took on that characteristic of being human, he took on the state of being a servant, which means that he willingly sought to fulfill the will of another. So he not only transformed in terms of physical, in a physical manner, but Jesus is also telling us that we need to transform our thinking and how we need to humble ourselves and be obedient. Instead, he continued in the fullness of being God and just added, as I said before, the attributes of being a servant. He became a bond servant, which is the lowest status on the social ladder.
It is clearly the exact opposite of being Lord or King.
Mm-hmm.
That is truly amazing that God, who created the universe, that ruled all over creation, would choose to transform himself in a way that he would take on the role of a human and be in the form of a servant. It doesn't mean that Christ only appeared to us as a man. It just emphasizes his identity, because in reality, while he was man, he also possessed the other aspects of being a human, except that he was sinless. Let's look at verse 8, which reads, "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And this is another descriptor that Paul used to show the Philippians that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. Jesus was willing to humble himself to take on the role of the servant. No one forced him to do it. Although he never sinned and didn't deserve to die, he chose to do so, so that the sins of the world would be charged to his own account. He could credit his righteousness to the account of all those who would choose to believe in him. Now be reminded, the depth of Christ's humiliation, that he died by the cruelest form of capital punishment, which is crucifixion. Now, we have the free will. Jesus Christ, again, chose to be humble. He chose to be obedient, and he chose the role of a servant. We don't even try. And that's the third thing that I want to bring out. We don't even try. So what I want to bring forward to you is that we need to have a trying mind. We need to try and be at the very core of who we are, this nature of being humble and being obedient. Because if we want to talk about the true nature of Christ, if we want to really talk about having the mindset of being Christ, then we need to look deeply into how we are able to try to be mm-hmm. like Jesus. What mm-hmm. is on our mind? And I know most of the time it's not trying to be humble, and it's not trying to be obedient. So we need to think about that, brothers and sisters. So let's go back to verse 5. "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." We know that having the same mind is to be in agreeance with one another. And having the same mind is having the same thoughts, having the same ideas, having the same opinions, etc. It's like sharing the same brain. So when we think about having the mind of Christ, it has to be a real spiritual experience that must be maintained daily in order that we can sustain love and peace in our hearts, in order that we can give to others no matter what the outward circumstances may be. So the question is, how do we receive or have the mind of Christ? The phrase "the mind of Christ" comes from Isaiah 40 and 13, and it reads, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor?" The verse is quoted also in the New Testament as well. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I'm going to read that again. "But we have the mind of Christ." So what this is telling us, saints of God, is that if you are a believer, then you have a mind of Christ. And I'll say this again. If you are a believer, then you must have a mind of Christ, or at least you should have. That means that if you share in God's plan, in God's purpose, and have God's perspective of the kingdom of God, then this is something that that all believers should possess. So if we are believers, brothers and sisters, if we say that that is who we really are, why don't we act like it?
Hmm.
Is that something that is on your mind?
Wow.
Now, having the mind of Christ means that we understand God's plan for the world. That means that we bring glory to Him in order that we may work to restore creation to its original splendor, that we may help to provide salvation for sinners. Having the mind of Christ means that we identify with Christ's purpose, which is what Luke 19 and 10 says, which is to seek and save the lost. We must understand that He wants to bring about His purpose. It doesn't mean that we are infallible and that we can start playing God with the lives of other people. It means that we care enough about people that we want to seek and find them in order to help save them so they are no longer lost. Having the mind of Christ means that we share Jesus' perspective of looking at the life from our Savior's point of view. Having His values and having His desires in mind, it means that we begin to think God's thoughts, meaning we hear that voice that's not our voice, and not think what the world thinks. So, do you have the mind of a believer or the mind of an unbeliever? Because that's the contrast to this. Either we have the mind of a believer or we have the mind of an unbeliever. In 1 Corinthians, that same chapter 2, Paul compares the unbeliever, who is the natural man, to the believer, who is the spiritual man. So when we have the mind of Christ, it will be in contrast to the wisdom of man, who is that natural man. It involves the wisdom from God, which is the spiritual man. Those things, that wisdom from God, those things that come from God, it was once hidden, and it cannot be understood by those who don't have the Holy Spirit. So once you have the Spirit, then you understand those things from God. You have the wisdom from God, and it is no longer hidden from you, because you understand it in the Spirit. So when we have the mind of Christ, we have the discernment in spiritual matters. When you have the mind of Christ, then you will value what Jesus valued, not value what the world values. Now, the Bible describes 5 things that Jesus valued. And as believers, because that's who we are, we have the mind of Christ, and we should value them as well. 5 things I'm going to give you. When you have the mind of Christ, you have, 1, a commitment to bring glory to God. In John 17 and 5, Jesus said, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." There's a glory that exists after the world began, and there's the glory that existed before the world. That is the level of glorifying God that we want to be able to embrace. We want to glorify God in the way that Jesus glorified God, in all that we say and in all that we do. Amen.
Amen.
2, we want to have a continued longing to provide salvation for sinners. Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." We want to seek and save the men and women to build the kingdom of God. We need to have a heart that longs to save others, a heart that longs to do outreach to others, long to be able to say, do you know Jesus? And if not, be able to bring them into the light. We need to have a continued longing for the lost. Number three, we need to have a complete understanding of humility and obedience. We spoke about that before. Stated and reminded us how Jesus took on the characteristics of humility and obedience. And we need to understand that that is the place when we choose to be a servant that we need to rest in those characteristics as well.
Amen.
There are no big I's and little U's, as they say. Point number four. We need to have a compassionate heart. Matthew 9 and 36 shows Jesus' compassion for the people. It states that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He genuinely cared for the people. When we look at other people, do we have compassion for them? Are we concerned for them? Do we care for them? And certainly in this time and season, as we all know, there are people who are hurting.
Yes.
Do we have a compassionate heart that we are willing to extend a hand and our heart in order to help? And number five, we must have a constant dependence on praying to God. Luke 5 and 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I'm going to say that again. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Do you often withdraw to a lonely place and pray? Or how about do you just often pray? Because that is a characteristic of Jesus, and that is also what is a part of his nature. That is having the mind of Christ. So, saints of God, how do we develop this? How do we go forward and develop this? How do we make this constant? The mind of Christ is given to believers through the Holy Spirit. I go back again and repeat about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12 says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God.
Right.
We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. We have to, brothers and sisters, try the Spirit by the Spirit.
Right.
So we develop the mind of Christ by having the Holy Spirit. And this comes with saving faith from Christ. In Romans 8 and 9, it tells us you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
Right.
It is our responsibility, saints of God, as Christians, as kingdom citizens, as a believer, it is our responsibility to yield to the Holy Spirit's leading and let the Spirit transform our life into having the mind of Christ. So in closing, brothers and sisters, in order to have the mind of Christ, you must have first that saving faith in Christ and live in the Spirit and live that life under God's influence, hearing from God. Allow the Holy Spirit to dwell and enlighten you, to infuse you with his wisdom, to have the mind of Christ. You bear the responsibility to yield to the Spirit's leading. And again, it will transform you, and it will always renew your mind. Amen? Amen. And so lastly, what do we need to do to have the mind of Christ? We want to be committed to God. We want to continue to save sinners. We want to be completely humble and obedient. We want to be compassionate for others. And we want to constantly pray. Live Christ-like. That's what should be on your mind. Amen and hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Awesome, awesome. What's on your mind?
Wow.
Lord have mercy.
Wow. Wow.
What's on your mind? I mean, we got to examine our mind and see what's going on there. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Elder Nichelle Ford, for this powerful word. What's on your mind? And when you were saying we got to train our mind.
That's right.
You know, when you read the word, you now got to train your mind by the Spirit to now really take in that word so that you can do the word.
That's right.
And then you're saying trying. Sometimes we don't even try.
We don't try to
read the word, so we got to really try our mind. I mean, really. It's so awesome. Thank you so much for this word. And you know what? I want to hear from the people out there tonight.
Amen.
I know y'all want to say something to
Amen.
This woman of God.
Amen.
I know y'all got some testimonies that you want to talk about. So please press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
We
want to know what is on your mind tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What's really amazing, Elder Ford, is today, while I was driving to the location where we had our game, a thought came into my mind, that same scripture, let this mind be in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, we be saying that, but when you understand what that scripture is saying, he humbled himself.
Yes.
He took. And then whatever he did was for somebody else. So
That's
if right. you took on the mind of Christ, you can't be thinking about your welfare,
mm-hmm.
How good it's going to turn out for you, because he went to the cross. I mean,
Lord.
A cruel death.
Yeah.
So that mind of Christ, when we say about taking on the mind of Christ, we got to be careful what we're saying, because
yeah.
that is not something that you're going to be doing out of for your pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be
right.
living life for pleasure, for what you can gain out of it, but no, what you
dying.
Can do for others.
That's
what you can, how you can sacrifice so
mm-hmm.
others would be better.
That's right.
Right. Sometimes we don't want to take the low road. Somebody kill your dog, you want to kill that cat.
Mm-hmm.
You say, no, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But having the mind of Christ, you have to give and yield.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. I began to think about it as I was driving. I was beginning to say, Lord, have mercy. And when you start reading the scripture, I almost scream out tonight.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
You've got to be careful do we have
to
mind
it? It's hard for us because we're not like Jesus. So we have to actively work to have the mind of Christ. And we have to always be. We are operating in the Spirit, because the Spirit will always lead us into a place where we won't be guided by our emotions. You know, where, like you said, you know, you don't want to turn around, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You know, we want to be able to be compassionate to people. And if you're speaking through the Spirit, then you understand what that other person is going through. And I believe as a nation, that is our trouble right now, because we are not operating in the Spirit. We're operating in a worldly manner. And so we're not operating with the mind of Christ. And that's where we need to rest, in the mind of Christ. We need to operate with love for one another. We need to operate with care for one another. And we have to be compassionate for one another. But if we're not operating in that space, you know, we get what we've experienced as of late. as of late.
Exactly. That is so true. That is so true. Oh, we still want to hear from you guys out there.
Press one on your phone.
We will bring you live on the air. And we have one in queue. The first three digits is 601, and the last four digits is 1322. And you are now live on the air, caller.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, how you
doing? Great word tonight. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to CNN. Be not conformed to Fox News. Be not conformed to YouTube. Be not conformed to Facebook. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
Yes.
Thank you for that word, sister. Thank you for that word. The world needs to be transformed by the renewing of their minds, by staying in the Word of God.
Yes.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Great word tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So much for tuning
Amen.
In.
Amen.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, that's the Norman. Y'all can listen to him on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., I believe. And that's a powerful man of God, as you just heard. Amen. Fully in the Word of God. It's called Anointed Word by Norman Woodard. So just continue to pray with him and for him and his beautiful wife, amen, that they continue to do God's will. God is using him in a mighty way. And we thank God
amen.
For him. Anybody else out there?
And, you know, I was just thinking of Elder Nichelle, as you was teaching, we, even in these times that we are in right now, where we can look at someone and think, you know, that they are crazy and, you know, and foolish and all these things, but what's on your mind? We got to train our mind to get back to God and what God is saying. Because, you know, God loves everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are his creation. And the thing is that we have to train our minds to get our minds right. I mean, ouch. We have to train our mind to get our minds right so
that's
that
right.
we can think right way concerning people.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm.
That's right. My husband and I, we were out the other day just picking up, we picked up something from one of the restaurants. We don't sit in these restaurants anymore. It's so sad. But, you know, we were picking up something to go, and a woman came in, and clearly she, you know, she was upset about having to wait for her food. But as the moments ticked away, you know, it got heightened. She got more angry, and she got louder, and she got profane. And people, your first reaction is to go, oh, my goodness, she crazy, you know.
Uh-huh.
But when you operate in the Spirit and when you operate it with the mind of Christ, you believe and you say to yourself, that woman is hurting. That woman is hurting. What we need to know is not what we hear right now, but really understand in her heart that there is something that is hurting, that and what
mm-hmm.
we are seeing is her hurt, her place of hurt, and not just that overall emotion. And most people would react to that, you know, the way that she's engaging, because it was quite aggressive and it was quite loud. But you have to be able to use that. Hear the voice of the Spirit and have that discernment. Be aware of that discernment and what's being told to you so that you know, maybe that woman is hurting in some ways that we don't even know.
Yeah.
And we need
and
to
another
way.
About a good point where you was talking about withdraw and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you say withdraw to a lonely place, I believe you said. But withdraw and pray, withdraw to a lonely place and pray. But even with you standing there, you could have withdrew, and that's probably what you did, withdrew and prayed for that person. but you don't know what was going on with them.
And
so it is awesome that we have our mindset.
Pray often. You know,
yes.
I said in the word in that scripture was that Jesus prayed often. Yes,
often.
He often went to a lonely place and prayed, but he often prayed. And we need to make sure that we are often praying to our Father in heaven, that we are thanking him and speaking with him daily so that we are trained to hear him when he speaks back to us.
That's right.
If you're not listening to him, if you're not talking to him, you're not training yourself to be able to listen back either.
Very good. Very good. I pray those of you out there in radio land tonight, I hope that you have really got something from this word. I know we have what's on your mind. And we're glad for the caller that called in. We got to make sure that we keep our minds stayed on the Lord and know that, that if we are born again, we are now transformed. But we do have to train our mind to be like Jesus. We got to train our mind. So when our mind begin to want to run in another direction, we got to pull it back. We got to pull down every stronghold. We got to cast down every imagination and every high thing that may try to exhort itself against the knowledge of God. And then bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we got to do so that we'll be able to do the things that God has already told us that we need to do. So we thank God again for allowing this mighty, powerful woman of God to bring forth the word on tonight. And we are praying that each and every one of you receive this word and be able to live by this word.
Amen.
And we are asking you on next week to please dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.